Hello, photography lovers. I've missed you so much. This is the Fashion Photography Podcast, and my name is Virginia Yanchuba, your host. Today, I have a big favor to ask for. Since we have some big plans about our gorgeous podcast, I would like to ask you if you can leave an honest review and your rate in iTunes. That would mean the world to me, and also to George. You know, he's our mystery guy, our editor, but he's also very interested in our rating in iTunes. So please do it for him, if not for me. For those of you who have no idea how to do that, I promise that in the next few days, we'll do make sure to publish a video on our Facebook group called the Fashion Photography Podcast on how to give us your rating and your honest review. But now, let's stick to the third part of our interview with the gorgeous retoucher, Daniel. Today, we'll be starting with a short conversation about handling bad moments. Then we'll continue discussing, do we really need to retouch our photos nowadays? And what's the difference between the retouch now and then? And most of all, what's the psychology of the retouch? If you're a retoucher and you're wondering how to build your portfolio, or if you're a photographer and you're wondering how to handle this amount of work, well, we do have some advices for you. We also talk about contracts and reliable clients and payment in this industry. So here we go. Just out of curiosity, what type of music you were creating?
It's kind of the same type of music that I like, which usually annoys all other people, especially in the creative industry. They're more like happy music, and I am really into like really heavy music, sometimes with really depressing lyrics, but I kind of like that. And there are a lot of people that don't understand the music and they don't understand the lyrics in terms of, I don't know how you can live your life and always listening to that stuff. And I'm thinking like, yeah, I don't know. It's just relaxing to me.
I hope that's the only depressing thing in your life.
Yeah. There's a good thing in like everyone is going to better and less good phase.
Sure.
In terms of your private life and your business life. And there's a certain type of people that need uplifting things. So they need to be confronted with happiness, so to speak. And I'm the one not really dwelling into wanting to be stuck into a depressive phase or something, but there's something that speaks to me, other people experiencing also the same things maybe that I'm going through, the same struggles. And that's something that is, I wouldn't say uplifting for the moment, but in the long run, it's just like helping a lot.
Yeah, making sure that you're a regular person.
Yeah. I mean, people are differently. They learn differently. They have emotions in a different way. So everyone has to figure out what works for themselves.
Sure.
It's the same with like learning. Nobody learns the same way. And some people are good with for a certain amount of time doing the same thing and making the same progress. And then they're hitting a point when they don't make any progress anymore. And then they just need someone or something to help them make the next step.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a little bit different for you since you're not a sinner like most of us. You're not drinking, not smoking, not doing drugs, which is a good thing, by the way.
Yeah, I always say like there are a lot of people saying, okay, that's actually a good thing, but it's not how I would consider living my life. And for me, it's like making a decision what is actually normal to you.
Sure. No. I'm just kidding. At the same time, you're watching Fighting Cats and not doing exercises. So yeah. You're also a sinner.
Yeah, I should do much more exercise. And I make a lot of really nasty jokes usually.
But not here, not today.
No, I'm trying not to.
I want to go back to something. You mentioned that in the beginning you were using only auto mode on your camera.
Yeah, that's how everyone starts when they're getting a camera. It's like using auto mode.
Yeah, true.
And taking weird snapshots.
I wanted to discuss this because you said you were doing auto mode shoots, and in order to retouch them, you wanted to do some photos on manual mode. What's the difference now for the people who are wondering and who have not as much experience as you do?
The thing for me was I actually wanted to have a material to play around with Photoshop, and I took some pictures, and then you kind of realize, okay, I can play around with them and it's not making the images good images still. So I have to figure out something else to make the images better. So I thought, okay, maybe I should learn about photography a little bit. And then you're noticing, okay, maybe I shouldn't use a kit lens, and maybe I shouldn't use auto mode, and maybe I shouldn't use on-camera flash and all these things. So you discover a new world of creativity for yourself, which is a good thing for myself. I mean, I still shoot. I don't shoot commercially, but I enjoy taking pictures every now and then. I got into shooting film because I never experienced shooting film. I process that on my own, scan it and all that stuff, because it's like another thing I can do with my hands and kind of relax while doing it. I don't know, a nice experience to go back to.
Have you ever retouched a film, like in the old times?
No, not in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would actually shoot film, because there's digital and I was happy to shoot some images that I more or less liked. Just like being afraid of not seeing what the outcome is.
Yeah.
Always scared me, until I kind of thought of, okay, I have this old camera from my parents, which they never used. And it was standing on a shelf for maybe a year, until I finally decided, okay, I'm just going to buy film and try it. And trying new things is kind of an exciting thing. And I do photography because it's a relaxing thing aside from working and that. And I don't actually like retouching those images that much or at all. I often leave all the scratch marks on it. I sometimes scratch the film purposefully. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, it's very different. Also, to retouch an image like this, I hope one day you have the time and chance to do a retouch like this to somebody else's photo. It's very captivating.
The process of retouch scanned image captures with film is not that much different. I mean,
yeah, but it's different when you're doing it with your hands. I've been doing retouch like this, like really, really basic retouch, but it was so amazing, so, so different.
Yeah, I never got to the point that I would get an enlarger, building a darkroom. So we'll see, maybe at some point.
Only if you want.
What I would do is, it's actually amazing how the principles of these old techniques are still the same in digital retouching.
Exactly the same, yeah.
And fixing all these little marks and adding with ink and stuff. And that's basically all we do is fixing little things and doing, I mean, dodging and burning is much, much, much more precise than it used to be.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. That's why it's sometimes so hard for me to understand people that are so much against the retouching part, because it's been done even in the past. It's the same process.
Also, I don't do a lot of alterations on persons.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically look the same. But even that has been done in the film age a lot, especially for our public personas. Considering the purpose there are, when you're going into the art world, there's basically nothing you can't do. And when you're going into commercial stuff, have the intention to make things look as good as they can be because you want to sell. That's basically the purpose of us.
Plus, there are many things that people don't pay attention to in a natural conversation, because the person that you're talking to is, for example, moving or explaining something, and you're not going to see all the features on their faces. And when it's a still image, it's a completely different story.
Yeah, sure. Especially considering we're getting to the point where digital is much, much, much higher resolution. The glass we are using now is much higher resolving than it used to be a few years ago even. And it makes things much more obvious when it comes to certain flaws we might not want as a company selling a product, makeup or anything else, because they want their product to be shining.
True.
I want to say the argument about how much alterations are good or not. At the end, it's not our job to decide. Of course, we can say, okay, that's too much and you might have to look for someone else. But we also have to think about what we're selling.
Absolutely.
Is it a beauty image? Is it a fashion image? What is the key selling point and what makes the product the best it can be, right?
Absolutely. I agree. And talking about images, in the beginning you started shooting for yourself in order to retouch, but then you started to find other creatives so that you can retouch their images.
I at some point found that I'm much better with retouching than shooting for myself, and I'm it's a smaller town and I'm not living in Berlin or Paris or something else. Also considering going through the phase of having a day job and stuff like this. So it's much easier to reach out to clients, possible clients, or just retouching images instead of organizing. I mean, it's much easier to get into retouching actually because you don't have to organize a team, clothing, and pay for a model. And so the actual cost of getting into it is much lower because actually you just need a computer and a tablet. Yeah, that's basically it. But the knowledge of knowing about photography is still something I can recommend looking into for everyone. And also makeup, when you're into beauty, it's always an interesting thing to talk to makeup artists and actually show the work you're retouching in there.
Because for them, it's very, very important to have a good retoucher and final result. Absolutely. Do you have any recommendations on how to, for the people who are trying to start their own businesses or retouchers right now, how to find these type of photographers and other creatives that they can work with?
The biggest thing is you have to prove that you're worth working on someone's images when it is someone that has good connections, because you're not going to get to someone who is working for Vogue or those magazines. You're not going to be hired by an agency if you cannot prove that you actually can deliver. That's a tricky thing. And as a retoucher, you always have to rely on someone else. That's the downside, because you might not be able to shoot your own images. You might not have a camera. So then it comes to getting good images. And I can only recommend working on more or less decent images, at least ones that are lit well and captured well. The aesthetics is something else that is might not be as important when it comes to training your skills. Mm-hmm. And then you have to actually be sure that you can deliver, looking for photographers, because there are a lot of photographers who are looking for someone helping them out. Most of the time, it might not be paid work. But again, you have to think about the experience you are gaining and also make sure that you have the right to use the images for your portfolio. And that usually comes with a trade-off in how much you can ask for, right? Because mm-hmm. you are asking for something and they're giving you the right because they are a copyright holder. And that's something not to take too lightly, is the copyrights and knowing about these and not just taking some images from the internet, retouch them. That's not a good idea. Or using images that you don't have a right to show, or showing before or after images without the photographer and the model being okay with it.
So maybe it's better to reach out to photographers directly.
I would say so. That's the easiest to get in, because like there are a lot of people, they are either at the limit when it comes to how much time they have because they want to shoot more. They are more than happy to have a helping hand. They don't have to spend that much money, or they just don't want to deal with retouching.
Yeah.
And they are just, there are a lot of people saying, hey, I'm putting the images on Model Mayhem or whatever, and you can use them.
Mm-hmm.
Building a portfolio and also getting in touch with the photographers, because they are maybe possible client and maybe they are coming with a job at some point and saying, hey, you did good work on this one and this project and I have a paid job and I want to hire you.
Sure. That's definitely an option.
So many people I was helping with just little things, kind of friends who are working in the commercial advertising industry. Like, hey, I need for this free project, I just need some little things tweaked. Can you help with that? And I said, sure, I can do it. And then at some point they're coming, hey, I have a nationwide campaign and I need a retoucher.
Yeah, that's a good option. The fact that you said something about the usage is also very important for me.
Yeah.
And I believe for our audience, you also said that you're working with contracts, which I think is very important to mention.
Well, at least you have to make sure that the one who's hiring you understands what you are providing for services and how many revisions you are including. So what comes with your cost, basically. Of course, I mean, the copyright, you can make contracts about that.
Yeah.
But you basically have to if you're allowed to use the images. Otherwise, it's just like, I don't know. You never know what's going to happen in the future and you always want to be safe.
Mm-hmm. And what about your contracts? Did you talk about them with someone?
When I have to delegate something that is like a really big project or something, there's usually an ad agency involved and they might come up with a contract you have to agree on. The other things are usually not worth going to a lawyer to have them checked, because it's just like dealing with the copyright and just making an agreement doesn't really have to be formal, so to speak. It just has to be clear what someone offers and what which party's rights are, basically, and what they just agree on. The same for like a basic work contract. You just agree on delivering files to delivering a certain time in a certain quality and whatever your services are you're providing. So I'm always providing backup services, which I include in my estimate and all my services, like this and this and this service is all included when I do the retouching job. This is how we handle the files. It's also contributing to the perception of how reliable you are as a business person. And there's always, you have to think about someone hiring you, and you want to make sure to work in a way that they are confident to get quality result out of, because they are handing over their work and you have to respect that. And they're sitting there waiting for something without, maybe, especially when you work for them for the first time, you want to make sure
they're feeling safe. Mm-hmm.
They're being clear of what's included is one thing. The other thing I do usually is when it's a series that has to look the same way, I am sending over maybe color graded images that has no retouch. Sometimes it's just like one finished image, and I can say, okay, this is basically the standard that all images are going to turn out, just to make sure that client is confident about how things are going.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure everyone is happy.
And have you ever had a moment when you're not feeling so sure about your client, for example, for payment? Because for the researchers, the payment is a little bit questionable thing, I think, because sometimes you don't even get to see your client in person.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing working worldwide, because you can't sue in every country, and also you have a reputation and you don't want to sue everyone just mm-hmm. because someone is not paying. I don't know. You never know what's going on their side. Sometimes you just don't agree on the outcome, and I always try to make sure it is how we agreed on, or let's say how they wish for it to look. So I make changes. But at some point when there is a deadline or something, it's like you always want to make sure they're happy. I had it once or twice happen that we just couldn't agree on certain things, so we just had to cancel it. And then you have to think about, yeah, okay, you have a work relationship with someone and you might not work in the near future because of
this disagreement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you always want to make sure nobody has a negative view on how you handle business, because they are talking to other people, you are talking to other people, and they might even consider at some point to come back to you for whatever reason, because they went somewhere else and they weren't happy.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, and they might come back. That's how things are. At the end, it's just business. You have to think long term.
Well, yeah, that's a great advice, to think long term. Oh, thank you, Daniel, for this amazing interview. It was really, really my honor.
Thank you for having me. And I like the idea of the podcast, because you get so many little insights into people's lives and also how they run their business. And it's worth listening to. So I'm happy to contribute to that.
It's always so nice to hear such pleasant words about your work and what you do. I hope, guys, you're feeling the same about our podcast, because we're doing it together. And part of our list with collaborators are also JudeFashionMagazine.com and NeverlandMac.com, where you can find all of our previous podcasts and some useful info on how to submit your own fashion photography projects for those two amazing magazines. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I'll see you very, very soon, like this Friday.